Once you find your Ray Dalio's principles, you want to read and reread and rehearse and retrieve and transcribe and do whatever you can to just suck up as much information as possible from those books, because they contain 100 good ideas.
I sent 2 units. They're bringing her down now.
No, Lieutenant, your men are already dead.
The future is approaching faster than ever.
Technological change is speeding up, and your already maladapted evolutionary mismatches are multiplying.
In the future, the current version of you is already dead. The way around that is to keep learning, keep evolving, mentally, psychologically, physically, and financially.
Hi, this is Mikael Syding and Ludvig Sundström, and you are listening to Future Skills. This is where we prepare you for an uncertain future of accelerating change.
Today we're going to talk about how to build a review file, and this is a premier learning system for the most important things in your studies, work, and creative stuff. This is particularly useful for knowledge workers, professional creatives, and basically everyone else who's really interested in learning things faster. In my commonplace book, I have more than 400 articles, 100 quote documents, 200 video notes, and a lot of other stuff. This is all inside the software Evernote, and I have more than 7,000 notes in total.
Completely impossible to remember.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to be able to use that, so I need to have some structure to
I myself have 819 notes, and I'm just getting started.
Yeah, and so the review file, that's where I've stored all my best stuff. It's like a virtual book summary book, only it's more extreme. And it contains the links to the best articles, videos, and books that I've read. And it's very small. I only put the best stuff here. I have maybe 30 resources or something in it. And it's all just linked.
Maybe we should just be a little bit more concrete about what a review file is. So it's a file with information that is there to be reviewed, that you should look at it again and again. So what you want to do is periodically be reminded of it and actually access it and go through, just browse the information that is there, and being reminded of the information that you have deemed important makes it easier to actually use that knowledge.
There are two things that you need to know about the learning process. And I mean, most people, they think just because they know something, like they've heard about it once or twice or read about it, they think they know it. But that just means you're familiar with it. It's a completely different thing to actually know something and how to use it, and that usually takes a long time. And if you take these like really big ideas, things like, you know, power laws, the 80-20 effect, setting goals, visualization, all these like fundamental concepts that pretty much everyone who's into self-development have heard about. If you take these things, most people know about them, but they don't really do them, and it's because they don't use any specific methodologies to doing it. They don't repeat it, they don't review it. So you need to go through multiple steps before it becomes natural.
It's very easy to forget even such a simple and powerful tool as the 80-20 method. If you're not reminded of it, then you forget to use it once things heat up and become urgent.
And let's go over like more why do you need this, or why is it important? And it works because of spaced repetition. And spaced repetition is, I think, the most valid, most fundamental learning method that exists, like proven to work. And it works that if you learn something, then you need to repeat it. Otherwise, you forget it.
I recently listened to a podcast called Smart Drag Smarts. In it, they talked about the 6 methods of learning. So the topic was learning how to learn. And what they had to say about repetition was that retrieval is actually even more important. It's a special case of repetition, you could say. But rather than just rereading something, you have to force your brain to actually retrieve the information by its own volition and action.
You could kind of draw a parallel, because I've kept book summary books for years, and I have over 200 books that I've summarized like physically with written pencils. And I've done that for, you know, many years. And then if I'm going to review all of those, it's going to take a tremendous amount of time, because it's all like in tiny notes in a physical book. But if I do it in a small system virtually, then it's much easier to retrieve and use. So when I went through these books like recently, I realized that my learning system, because I have practiced it so much over the last years, so like there was a purpose to summarizing all those books. It made me filter information much more succinctly. But now that I've learned that, I don't really need it so much more. It's like a training wheel almost.
I got really inspired when I heard about your book summary books. I tried starting my own, but it never really came naturally to me.
Yeah, most people, at least for me, you don't have the natural filters of information and you need to practice it. And it's kind of like, you know, everyone knows that it's important to go to the gym. Everyone doesn't do it, but everyone knows it's important to do. That's like embedded in our culture. But it's not embedded in the culture that it's also important to do brain practice, to like do mental exercises, like spaced repetitions, like having a review file, like having a commonplace book, like having a book summary book, these kind of practices. And you can practice your brain in different ways. You know, you can do lateral thinking, creativity. You could hone the fundamentals with a review file like this so that you gather up the best stuff that you have and then you repeat it over time with spaced repetition. Or like you were saying before, like with the retrieval. It's like, I guess an example of that would be if you're reading, or I mean, you're working on something and then it's like, okay, what could be useful in my work right now? And then you skim your review file for information that could be good.
I think most people are familiar with how surprisingly little you remember from a good movie. When you see a favorite movie a second or even a third time, you tend to pay attention to a lot of details and even big topics that you somehow forgot. This is, I think, common when it comes to movies, but you don't really think of it in the same way when it comes to non-fiction books. But I think non-fiction books, they are even denser in terms of the information content. So you typically remember a lot less from a good non-fiction book than you do from just an entertaining movie.
That's a good point. I think most people, I mean, at least many, have a really skewed understanding of what the learning process is like. And I mean, I was kind of talking about it before, about how people, just because they're familiar with something, they think that they know it deeply. And there's obviously a big difference. But I think there's another thing. I mean, you can make the case that the point of learning is that it should be fun and you should kind of, you know, like self-development, kind of develop as a person and grow and have fun and stuff like that. You could definitely make a case for that. But you could also make a practical case for, like, what is the pragmatic point of learning stuff? So how do you want to do it as strategically and useful as possible? And then what it is basically, it's pretty similar to speed reading, you know? You skim a lot and you filter out a lot of stuff. That's you just go through it very fast. And then you find the few things that are really useful that you want to repeat over the years. And I mean, the best example is one idea books compared to multiple idea books that I like to call gold books, like books that have a ton of ideas in them and that are timeless and that they're not going to be useless the next year. And you basically want to speed read and read things if you like to read primarily. But if you want to do that, then the whole point is just to find the few things that are really useful, like evergreen over the long term, and keep repeating it. And then everything else is just like filler in between. You don't need to repeat that. You don't even want to store it. But when you find those really good things, that's what you want to summarize or keep in a review file.
Yeah, and once you find your Ray Dalio's principles or Charlie Munger's, what was it called? Poor Charlie's Almanac or something.
Yeah.
Those two books, once you find books like those, you want to read and reread and rehearse and retrieve and transcribe and do whatever you can to just suck up as much information as possible from those books because they contain 100 good ideas. Anyway, what I would like to say about this review file, it's a way of creating a controlled availability bias. You know, availability bias where you just use whatever is at hand. And this is a way of making very valuable methods and mental models, make them available. So they are in your availability bias, I don't know, file?
No, but like keep it top of mind.
Yeah, exactly. And that way you will prime effective and proven models instead of just letting evolutionary mismatched biases reign.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't do it, then why leave it to randomness?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Let's talk about now how to do this, the practical steps. Because I think we've covered pretty much like why you should do it and what it is and things like that. So let's cover how to create a review file. But first of all, like who should do this? Again, it's like this is for people who want to learn things and improve their career, especially knowledge workers and professional creatives, but it's also for people who want to become more organized at life. So let's go over how to do this. The first thing you do is you want to start a commonplace system, and, well, you don't need to, but that's a bigger part of it. Like the review file is just a little part in your whole information system commonplace. And we like to use Evernote, the software Evernote, for this purpose. This is a free software, but I think, do you have the paid version, Mikael?
Yes, I do, because I want to have it available on both my phone and my computer and possibly several computers.
Right, right. So they've limited it now, so you can't have it on, like, that's a function of the paid one now.
Yes.
Okay, okay. I forget about these things, but I mean, it's important to tell people.
I also heard some of our listeners said today that Evernote has changed some things again, probably made it a little bit more expensive and made the free version a little less attractive.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's part of the business model. But anyway, this is a good software and we use it. But you could also use many others. You could use OneNote or, I don't know, SimpleNote. Or there are a bunch of these commonplace softwares. And then after you've done that, you want to create a systematic way to organize the things that you learn and the ideas that you have. For example, you could divide your things into books, quotes, podcasts, videos, lectures, kind of like I was talking about in the beginning, how I have a bunch of notes on these topics, because then I can just easily find them. And then when I can find them, because I have this clear structure, then it becomes easy for me to access them over the years. And then what I want to do is I want to collect a ton of these things over the years, like just as I go about my life. But then I want to also compile them and use them in a practical way. And that's the review file.
I think there are two main important tools that you want your commonplace to have. And one is the ability to create links, and the other is to create tags. So you want every note to contain several tags, so it's easy to find them according to topic. So you need to be able to tag them pretty extensively, I think. And the other feature is to be able to link documents, so you can create a hierarchy. I, for example, like to use a top document, which I can just very easily browse through. That's almost like a review file, even if it isn't. It's just my master document. And through that one, I can hierarchically find things. So you want to be able to find things both hierarchically and topically.
Yeah, I think you have a very clear mind when it comes to that kind of hierarchy thinking. And I also think it's, like you were saying, those two features, linking and categorizing, they're important to have, like to base your commonplace around that. But I also think that they're really valuable for when you want to work on the phone. Because if you're a knowledge worker and you're good at like structuring up your work into processes, like separate work processes, then you should be able to work on your phone using a commonplace if you're a bit clever about it, which is really nice. But let's talk about how to put together a minimal review file. So off the top of your head, like if you're over 30 or 35 years old or something like that, and you have some practical work experience, and you've probably like learned a bunch of things throughout your life, and, you know, read books and listened to educational podcasts and whatever, like interesting learning resources, then you should be able to do these things. You should be able to list your top 5 books and other learning resources. You should be able to divide it into relevant categories if you have a lot of it. And then you create this review file where you place all of it and you link to the content that you can find it easily with one button click. And then finally, you want to set a reminder for when you should use it, like every quarter or something, or every time you work on a project.
So how would you say that your review file actually looks, just in a very tangible fashion? What is it? Is it a note? And in the note, you have links to a lot of things, or what is it?
Yes, I have all my best learning material, and I have it divided up in categories. And then the categories first is just a general category for like all the best stuff that really inspired me. It's like for example, these multiple idea books that are hard to categorize because they're just drawing on smart ideas from all areas of life. So it's hard to categorize them.
So you actually have to create the review file notes by itself.
Yes.
Yeah. And how do you set the reminders? Do you have a reminder for the review file per se? So you just have to, well, like every month you get a ping that says, look in your review file.
Yeah, I have it both inside of the software Evernote, and I have it on my Google Calendar as a recurring reminder.
Okay, and
so I don't need to do anything after I do it one time.
All right, and the recurring reminder, it tells you to look in the review file, not in the specific links.
No, it just says to look in the review file because I have it a shortcut for it.
Yeah.
So I just click on it one time and then I'm inside and then I look in it.
The reason I ask is that my master document kind of fulfills almost the same need as the review file, but I also think that maybe I should create a specific review file, but I'm thinking in terms of how to do it, and that would be one thing, one way. Another is to just tag the most important documents or notes with the tag review file.
Yeah, you could do that too. I do that too, but I don't use it. I just do it. That's like the stuff that I want to maybe collect in it. But if you already know what you want to put in it, then you could just use a saved search for it like that.
Mm.
That would be like Evernote-specific advice, I guess.
Yeah. I think a good thing, of course, with creating a specific review file as you do is that you have to think about it seriously and you get almost the retrieval effect already.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to get too stuck, too hung up on the specifics, because I think the whole idea is the most important. I think you can recreate the idea in multiple mediums. And you could even do it, like, neither of us keep a physical commonplace book because it would take forever to do. But you could, if you wanted to, create a physical review file too. So, I mean, the whole idea is the important thing, I think. And then you can recreate it however you want to do to your life.
And what's this with if you're under or over 35? What do you have against us older people?
No, I think I kind of explained that. It's like you should have... That's just my benchmark for when you probably should have some experience in terms of like having read a bunch of books or learned things so that you can easily draw upon it. Whereas if you're younger, then maybe you can't create a review file off the top of your head because you don't maybe know enough and you have to like be patient and read more and learn more. So that's kind of...
Yeah, good save. Good save.
So let's talk about four different ways that you can do this. Let's say you're a professional creative, then you could create like a virtual scrapbook of creative work that inspires you, like case studies, or just things that inspire you like viscerally, so that you look on it or listen to it and you kind of get a good feeling.
Yeah, so whenever you're going to create something for a client, for example, then you just quickly browse through your inspirational scrapbook.
Yeah, exactly. And it could maybe spark your unconscious and give you some ideas there. And then let's say you're like a marketer, then you have what is called like a swipe file, which is like a combination of advertising or sales letters or product pitches that have historically been proven to work. And then you can kind of use them as inspiration. And then if you're like a businessman or an investor, then you could create a list of your favorite case studies and businesses. And I mean, Mikael, you wrote something good about this the other day.
I wrote a post that just said, this is a good way to start thinking about investments. This is how you can actually learn to be a good investor. And that was almost like a review file for a new investor.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much the same thing that I think you should put in it if you were to use it for that purpose. But those are like three ways if you want to do a recap. Like for professional creatives, to have like an inspirational scrapbook. For marketers, to have a swipe file. And for investors or business people, to have a list of case studies in different industries. And then the final example, which is for most people, to just have a general summary over all the best learning material that you have had. The things that you want to do deep learning on and like spaced repetition. Or use for particular projects. But those are the four ways that I come to think of that a review file can be useful for most people. I think what is most important here is that if this idea is new to you, then the most of the value in doing it is probably going to come from the simple act of putting it together the first time to just teach your brain to think in this new way. And then over time, you can use things. I mean, you can use it and you can add things to it over time so that it gets more valuable information in it over time. And then you just keep adding on it as a learning system of all the best stuff that you come up with, either in the different areas that you learn from or for your work specifically.
Since we are, the last decade have learned a lot about how memories form and how we can use those memories. What we are talking about today about the review file, that actually builds upon exactly how the brain really works in terms of memories. In the brain, it's almost like memories and the brain's wiring, it's like paths in wet sand or in the forest. They are there for a while and they get stronger the more you use them. But if you stop using them, then they grow over and become useless. another good thing with the review file is that when you first wrote down whatever you thought was important, those were still just separate ideas or almost just separate facts. But when you look at them in combination, then you can suddenly, hopefully, make a leap from just points of fact to a more overarching idea or principle.
Yeah, right. That's really why those like ancient thinkers, or not ancient, but like during the Renaissance, that's why those people who were the first to start doing commonplace books, that's why they started doing it, because they wanted to boost their synthesis and like combining and creativity like that.
You have been listening to Future Skills, and this is Mikael Syding.
This is Ludvig Sundström.
And we will also like to thank our sound editor, Alexander Martin.
Finally, if you want to read a practical summary, then check out the episode description, because we put all of the action points there, everything that we went through. A review file is only a small part of a commonplace system. I've spent the last 4 years perfecting my approach to commonplacing, and I've now put everything into one product, the Ultimate Commonplace System. The Ultimate Commonplace System consists of a general methodology that everyone can follow, assuming that you work with ideas, like a knowledge worker, a manager, an investor, or a professional creative. In the Ultimate Commonplace System, I'll show you how to build a commonplace, like a dashboard of your life, collect an archive of your work that grows in value over time, structure your work that you can work with your phone, and gain an extra 10 hours per week if you forget things or you do a lot of routine work. To learn more, head over to futureskillspodcast.com/commonplace. There will be a link that you can click on in the episode description as well, and we'll send out an email assuming that you're on the newsletter. That's it. See you next week.